My name is Joyce Johnston, and I'm with the Polk County Historical Commission, and I'm sitting at a table with Bid Smith and J.D. Kugler, who are all also Polk County Historical Commissions, with Mr. and Mrs. Grimes. J.T. Grimes is a veteran of World War II, and he's here today going to share a little bit of his thoughts and memories with us. He and his wife June live in Goodrich, and they have so graciously given us some time this afternoon so that we can visit and get to know a little bit more about what happened to our Polk Countyans when they went over to serve this country. Mr. Grimes was born in 1925, and we're so happy that you're still with us and that you're here today. So why don't you start by telling us how old you were and whether you were drafted or you volunteered to step up to serve your country, and then take us through how you got into the deep end of our war.
Well, I was 18 years old when I was drafted. And after I was drafted, I took basic training in Fort McClellan, Alabama. And then I came home after basic training on a 10-day delaying route to Boston, Massachusetts, where I got on the ship and I went to England. We landed over at in England, and went through England one night on a train, hit the English Channel, went on a boat across the English Channel the next day, went on Le Havre, France, on a assault boat. And there were so many boats and ships and all sunk out there, but just mask and all, they couldn't get in with the big ship that we were on. So we went over the side on a rope ladder down into a salt boat and went on the beach at Le Havre. Okay. From there we went on up to this compound where they had the replacements. What I say about a replacement is, that when a division fought for several days and lost a lot of men, well, they would come back to this compound and get replacements to replace the ones that got killed.
Okay, and so so that's where your really real active duty began, was in Le Havre.
Right.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Where did he land?
Yeah, where did he land in Le Havre?
No, I landed there.
Right, but
I went on shore in Le Havre.
Okay, and so from there you
from
went.
There I went to the replacement center?
The
replacement center, right.
Okay, and so where were you sent then?
Well, I stayed from there. They came in one morning and they picked out, they say, we need so many men. Okay, they got your serial number.
Right.
And so they called that serial number out, and I was in that bunch. And there were a lot of people that was in basic training with me. It went with me also. They're all in there.
Right.
Anyway, we went from there. We went to our division, and next day we on the ground fighting.
Okay, in France.
Over in the Belgium kind of in Elsbeth.
Okay. So you and Mr. Kugler have been talking about the division that you were in. So tell us.
I was in the 41st Armored Infantry attached to the 2nd Armored Division, which was Hell on Wheels.
That was your name. I mean, you weren't just a group of guys that were... No, I know.
Yeah. That's true.
But you were Hell on Wheels, probably.
Well, more or less.
We needed you to be that, I think.
And anyway, I was on the front lines over there, and I wasn't over a long, long time. But I was on the front lines about 20 days. Mm-hmm. And after then, when they came and got me out of the foxhole when I was froze, I could not walk. I didn't have any feeling at all from my waist down. Mm-hmm. And when you get so cold, you don't realize that you're cold, and that's when you're just about to freeze to death. And after then, they carried me. I went back to a field hospital.
And where was that? Just right?
Back behind our lines.
Okay, so it was...
I have no idea what their name was.
Okay.
Anyway, from there, at night, we got 4 of us in an ambulance, and they carried us on back to another hospital, mm-hmm. field hospital. And from there, we went on back to Paris, France. And that ended that part of it. But anyway, from Paris, France, I went to London and so forth. And then we got in March the 2nd of 1945, well, they put me on the Queen Mary and brought us back. And I landed in New York, and on the Queen Mary.
So this time frame that you were over there, Mr. Grimes, was around December, January of 1945.
December.
44.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you were over
January of 45.
Yeah.
February of 45.
Right.
And part of March 45.
And that's when you had to come back home.
Right. And I mean, I wasn't over there a long time. A lot of people say, what town was you in or whatever? Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Right.
Because I was on the front line fighting all the time.
So you were 18 years old when you went over. So that was in 1943.
44.
Yeah, June,
September.
June of 44. Oh, okay. When you went over. Were there, I know that most servicemen formed such a close relationship, you know, with the boys that were with you, and you were all trying to survive and save the world, really. So do you still have some contacts with some of those old buddies, or are they all gone?
They're all gone.
They're all gone. So you're leading the band today that was there with you.
As far as I know, there's none of them living.
Is there any part of that battle tell us how you came to be in that foxhole. Tell us what was going on and how you came to be in the foxhole for us.
Well, we were going to take this town. The general said we'll go ahead and take it. It was late in the afternoon. Okay, we started out we got over in this, you could see the town. It wasn't a very big town. And we got out in this open field, like, well, the Germans, they started shooting at us. Mm. And so that's when I got in the foxhole. And I stayed in the foxhole till when they came back. 2 days later, they came by in a truck, and they took us all out, the ones that was wounded and the ones that was froze or whatever, and put us in the truck. And they checked all the foxholes to see
if there's anybody there.
Sure. Okay. Were there any of our allies there with you, or were you with, was it just United States service?
No, it was just United States people.
Okay.
At that time.
All righty.
Now, there's other times that before and during the battle, if you want to know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there was five of us in our half track, and we captured 51 Germans.
Wow.
At one time, just us, just five of us.
My goodness.
And then another time, the Germans had a big tank destroyer deal. I mean, and our small tanks would go up to this road, and this big German gun would just blow them out.
Mm.
And so a sergeant in our platoon, he said, I can go up there to that, you get close enough on my bazooka, that I can take that tank destroyer out. And so we give him ground fire, small arm fire, and he made his way up there, and he shot two rounds, it tells you right here, and on his bazooka, and disabled their gun, and we could go on then.
Goodness.
Right.
Is there anything that you've, a memory that you would like for him to share with us, Ms. Grimes?
And I checked my backpack one time,
mm-hmm.
and it had holes in it.
Oh, my.
Oh.
But, right.
What was it? You had something inside that stopped it, though, your metal.
No, bullets went on through it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
But not through you.
I mean, it.
Sideways.
Right, it was a sideways.
My
image was that it hit your dish. You know, you carried your dish with your that you're eating dish
or
with you, or that it hit something and bounced back out.
Yeah.
So, but it went in sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, tell us about some of these awards that you've got that you brought to show us today. This the bronze. Start with that one.
Well, this was sent to me in 1985.
Tell us what it is, though.
I got this in the Belgian Bulls when I got the. And back then they said that the medals they didn't give them out too much during the war because they needed all of that metal for other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it was so late. Anyway, but then on these others here, that's my combat ribbons and so forth. And there's a dog tag. And this here, when you're in combat, when you first get in combat, well, you earn this badge. It's a combat instruments badge.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you get $10 more on your payday. right. And then this is a European Theater of Operations, and this is the American Campaign. And this is the Belgian Bulls Medal. And this is the Good Conduct Medal. Do you believe that?
I believe it.
And my name is on the back of these stars.
Is
here.
That right?
Yeah. And this is just expert, and this is marksman on the rifles there. And that's about it.
Okay, but this is the bronze seal medal that's framed here that you got. It said that you got. Later.
Right.
Okay.
I got this later. They sent me these, and then they'd have a deal at the house that said the paperwork will follow.
Oh.
And it did.
Yeah. Well, how much was your paycheck?
My paycheck?
That you got when you were in
When I was getting $25 a month. Okay, I had to take my laundry out of that, and I had to take, and then I when I started overseas, well, I got allotment out, and give it to sent to my mother,
mm-hmm.
and that got and that took, I don't remember how much out, but my final paycheck while I was over there was $6 or something a month.
Yeah,
right.
And that was, you know, well respected back
then. And when I got discharged, well, of course, they gave you your pay then. I got uh-huh. $300 when I left over there.
Okay. Where were you on D-Day when you heard that
I was still in basic training on D-Day.
In basic training?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I wasn't on D-Day.
So, but you knew that you were going to have to go.
I knew I was going. Yeah. Sure did.
You were back home on VE Day, what, too, I guess.
A lot of the people that was in this the replacements. A lot of the people in replacements, they had never fired a rifle. They were office people, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But while they were in this compound waiting to be picked up, they put them through the rifle range and stuff like that. I'm familiar with it, but it's just bad stuff. But I was in the Ardennes Forest, the Belgian Bulls, in Rhineland. Those was a man
mm-hmm.
Places. Go.
Okay, well, you covered a lot of territory for such a short period, it seems to me, that you were there. I guess my question to you was, where were you that I called it V-Day, I mean, D-Day, and what I meant was, where were you when you heard that we had won the war, that the war was over? Were you out of, or had you been discharged?
No.
Okay, when you came in to back to New York
mm-hmm.
to be cared for, then where did you go?
When I left there, I came to Brook General Hospital
uh-huh.
in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
And I stayed in there probably 3 months. When I finally got out of their hospital, well, I went in the MP division.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went over in Louisiana, and we yarded those prisoners while they were cutting cane over there and so forth.
So that was the end of yours.
But when I learned about the war being over, I don't know, I was still in the Army. Because it was in 45, see.
Mm-hmm.
I had already got back home.
And your stint in the Army, and when you started in 44,
right.
You had to stay 4 years. Is that correct?
No. I only stayed up 2 years.
Okay.
because of my injuries and all.
Because of your injuries.
Okay.
Okay.
So then you came back home to Woodville?
Yes, yes.
And then to Polk County, to Livingston in 48. Mm-hmm. Been here ever since, you said.
Yeah. The 41st Army Infantry, there was 482 people killed, 881 missing, and 11 captured, and 1962 wounded. And the total was 3,155 was injured and so forth.
Well, Mr. Grimes, you were probably in one of the worst battles of the whole war.
I was.
In the European front, except for maybe D-Day.
Except D-Day.
That was probably the battle that determined the war.
Mm-hmm. On December and January, early January, we fought for 3 days and continually, day and night. And we captured 2,300, and we knocked out 43 tanks, and we took 1,800 prisoners in that 3 days.
Wow.
That's moving.
Yeah.
That's on the go, isn't it?
Yes, on the go.
Mr. Grimes, when you got over there as a replacement, when the German army had started their push in the Battle of the Bulge, and we were retreating fairly fast,
yeah.
By the time you entered it, had we started pushing back?
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, they encircled us over there when they started moving back. And when they got our equipment, see, got our clothes off of those prisoners, American prisoners, and they got the rifles and everything like that. And you could tell when they shoot a rifle fired,
what kind of gun?
You could tell if it was theirs or ours. And that it made it bad. You're fighting your own people.
Wow. Mm.
And I drank more wine than you ever seen. Everybody had a cellar, and it's full of wine.
Yeah.
And if we took took a town, and we went in this. We'd stay in that cellar at night, some of us, and some of us had to guard. And then another division the next day or so would come over, and they would attack through our position to drive on out. And we, while they were going forward, we'd be backing out, leaving. And a lot of times they would find We'd searched everything to see if there were prisoners. A lot of times we would find, they would come in and they would find several prisoners, Germans there, that we never did see.
Oh,
it,
goodness.
It slept in there with us that night. It, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the first day, but about the first week, I guess. I was in a open field. We were going through a hedge, up to a hedgerow, and an artillery shell, enemy artillery shell came in, and it hit close enough to me that it knocked me out. And I don't know how long I was out, But when I came to, there wasn't anybody there but dead people and whatever. And I went on up and I got back with my division.
And my goodness.
I don't know. You might not want to know all this.
Oh, no. No, we do. We're sorry that it was so, you know, you had to go through that. But we're thankful for you and appreciate you very much. So, is there anything else? I mean, we've gone almost 30 minutes, and so that's...
Yeah, there's something I wanted to say, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay, well, find it right quick.
Mr. Grimes, I wanted to ask you about your mental state. Whenever you were drafted out of high school,
good.
You knew that you were going to have to go to basic training, and when you were in basic training, you were at D-Day occurred. So you knew you were going to have to go.
All right.
At your unit that you were training, what was the mental attitude of your friends at the base? Were y'all scared? I guess I'm sure you were somewhat, but you knew you had a job to do, correct?
Well, you didn't have any idea what was going to happen, so you were scared, sure was, I don't know, it didn't bother me too much.
Well, when you were in high school, you probably had, if you were a country boy, you probably had a little bit more. Maybe you were in the woods, or maybe you had gone hunting for deer, or maybe you had shot a gun, and I'm sure some of those boys that you were in there with had no clue what was going on.
Well, when I was in high school before I graduated over at Woodville, I was in the Texas National Guard for probably a year or two. Wow.
So you were a little better prepared than a lot of them.
Yeah. But the first thing I got rid of when I got in combat, crawling on that snow, was my gas mask. That thing would get around under you, you know, and I just unsnapped it and crawled off and left it. I didn't need it. And when we went overseas in a troop ship from Boston, went on the USS Williamson, 700 of us, we did not have enough life vest for all of us. They didn't have enough equipment for
us. Well, at that time when you went over, was the German Navy still sinking ships?
Oh yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
That would have been enough to terrify me, not knowing that you're just on your own out there. No protection at all.
Well,
you just hope you're going to get there.
And you didn't have the clothes either when you over there that you needed. Had long johns and had you wool pants and a knitted sweater and a field jacket and a overcoat. That's it.
That was your outfit.
That's it.
Mr. Grimes, what is this? What are these two triangle-looking things for?
That's just
insignia on your uniform.
Yeah, that's a new PFC medal.
Okay, I'm looking at your dog tag right now.
It's got a P instead of a G.
Okay, they sent.
What I'm looking at what that notch was in your dog tag. See, this one has one, and that one there has one. What's the reason for the notches?
The notch.
Do you remember?
Between your teeth and through your mouth.
Yeah, that's after you were dead.
Okay.
And when they come around and check if you were dead laying there, they got the dog tag and know who you are.
That's how they knew who they were.
Okay. They put that in your mouth.
Notch goes.
Yeah, stretch it. Put it in there, and then she tangs up as you move down.
I have never heard that before.
That's right.
You couldn't get them out. That was it.
You still.
That's fascinating. I've never heard that.
That's it.
Goodness. Thank you for your time and for your service to our country. And thanks for bringing your wife with you today. It's good to have her here.
Got to bring her along.
Well, good.
I like along without her.
That's probably true. And she probably couldn't get along without you.
But it wasn't easy for him when he came back. It took a while. Talking to his mother, we hear
you want
post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. These boys had it just as bad as the ones have it now, and it took a while for them to get over it.
I'm sure.
But he's always told me he wouldn't take anything for the training, but he wouldn't want any of them have to go through what he went through.